I'd like to write the subject on the board this morning. Written on the board, two words, disproportionate influence. That's the thought this morning, the burden that the Lord has given to me. And I'd like to preface the message this morning with this, that God is so worthy of our lives today. God is worthy of us giving our all to Him. I'm so thankful today that my shepherd's name is Jesus. And that He said He was my shepherd. That I don't just claim Him as my shepherd, and my friend, and my Savior, but He said He was my shepherd. He said He was my friend. And He said He was my Savior, and Jesus is willing to lead me beside the still waters. He's willing to allow me to lie in green pastures. Jesus said He was willing to go with me through the dark places of life, to hold me up when I start to get off. He has a rod and a staff that faithfully helps bring me back to the place, if I'm willing, whosoever will, that we can stay on a path that leads us to heaven. I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God and have a shepherd that goes before us and behind us, guards us on either side, with mercy and goodness, that we might be able to have everlasting life. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord, don't you? I don't want to let Him down. I know I'm not worthy. I know that I don't have what it takes in of myself for the Lord to look at my life and say, "Well done, Rod. You really did a great job. You really met the bar. Welcome into through the gates of heaven." It's not me. I won't be able to do it. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I still want to do the best I can. I still want to give Him my life. I want to follow Him. I don't want to get off track. I'd like to read this morning out of the 5th chapter of Galatians. Desire and interest in your prayers as we endeavor to deliver this burden. Galatians 5 and 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." It is not works this morning. We preach this often because it's scriptural. It is not of our own works that is going to save and connect us to Jesus Christ. Whether circumcision, whether uncircumcision, whether you do that or whether you don't do it, which was part of the law, that is not what is going to connect us to Christ. What is going to connect us to Christ is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that is rooted in love. A person, a people, an individual that where we are filled with the love of God, love to God, love to our fellow man. Faith, belief, trust, something greater than ourselves. And yes, when we have that, it is something that will work in the innermost parts of our lives that yes will result in works. Do you know that an apple tree is an apple tree before it bears fruit? You don't have to wait for the apples to show up to say, that's an apple tree. You can go buy a little tree, has no apples on it, and I can have a little sign on it, it says apple tree. And it's an apple tree because of the roots that are in it. The apple tree is not made an apple tree because apples show up. And you say, oh, well, it's an apple tree. It's because it has apples, therefore it is an apple tree. Do you see what I'm saying? But if it is an apple tree, if it does have roots in the ground and they're fed and they're nourished and it's taken care of, the natural result of it is that it will bring forth apples, fruit. And by His grace in our lives, when we get a hold of Jesus Christ, and we have faith that worketh by love, it will work in us in such a way that it comes into us and out of us in the world in which we live in a way that shows Jesus Christ to the world. Oh, but listen, you did run well. You were doing so good. You had this faith. You were allowing the grace of God to begin to work in your lives. What happened? What happened? Who did hinder you that you shouldn't obey the truth? What happened that it should cause you to start veering away from that works at the heart level? What was it that persuaded you to do this? This didn't come from the Spirit of God. Paul said this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It didn't come from Paul, the one that was calling them. It didn't come from the Holy Spirit. He says, what happened? And now Paul speaks of another truth that was at work. And he said, a little bit of leaven, he said, leaveneth the whole lump. Last Sunday, we preached a message on leaven as well. And it was the leaven that works for good. The leaven that works for good. That when we, as very needy individuals, as human beings that were made of the dust, that when we come before God and we bring the little bit that we have, we have just a little bit, maybe a little drink of water and a pen, and we say, Lord, all I have is a cup of water and a pen, and it's all I have to offer you. But when we come and we say, Lord, here is what I have, and we willingly give it in faith, willing faith in the power of God, that is the leaven that works in a way that the power of God can take what we willingly give Him, and He can take the little bit that we have and meet the need of the moment and work a great work. And that is the leaven of good. But now this morning I desire, in the fear of the Lord, to warn us, to make us aware of a different kind of leaven that surrounds us. It's all around us. Often in the Scriptures, I mentioned this last Sunday too, often in the Scriptures, leaven is referred to and thought of as just a little bit of sin, a little bit of corruption, a little bit of false doctrine, a little bit of false teaching, taking on a little bit of something that's contrary to the word of the Lord. And it has the ability, leaven, to be able to take that that was willingly perhaps accepted and permeate through the whole and transform the whole with just a little bit that was given, a catalyst for change that alters and transforms. And there is a characteristic of leaven, a defining characteristic that I've written on the board this morning. Disproportionate influence. An influence that is not proportional to the amount that is applied as compared to the whole. And yet, the influence is so great. You see, leaven is such that we can't say, well, I think I will take four parts of leaven and there will only be four parts of consequence. You follow me? I'm just going to take on four parts of leaven. I can handle four parts of consequence. It's not how it works. It is a disproportionate influence. Leaven is such that you can take on four parts of leaven and you can end up with many, many, many more times the consequence in your life. I'd like to illustrate it if you'll allow me. That's a truck. This is a tanker truck. And this tanker truck, this is real life. This can hold 46,500 pounds, approximately, of liquid. And many years ago, I worked at a place and we sold an agricultural product. And the customer wanted the product delivered green, wanted it to be green. And so we worked and put a lot of technology and time and effort and cost into making a product that was intended to yield much fruit. Think spiritually with me, if you will. It was intended to yield much fruit. It was an agricultural product. And a lot of time and effort, as I said, went into it. And care and much detail was given throughout the whole process to make sure that when we got done, this product would work and yield much fruit. The customer said, I want it green. So we would put the product on the truck, 46,500 pounds of it. And then we would take something that was smaller than this. A cup of green dye and pour it into the top. And would you know it? You didn't have to do anything else but get in the truck and drive your life. You could drive slow. You could drive over the speed bumps that are intended to slow this truck down. Oh, I'm taking it slow. I'm taking it easy. That movement with this added, it wouldn't take long and it would permeate, go through the whole truck, green dye. And do you know that this didn't cost hardly anything? The dye didn't cost a lot. We didn't spend a lot of time and effort and technology and sweat and blood. This was not something that could bear any fruit at all. No fruit. But they wanted it green. And you know that once this was put in, there was no taking it out. You couldn't filter it, strain it. It was there. And you sure enough wanted to be sure that if you were going to pour this in the top of there, that you were putting it in the right stuff and it was really what you wanted, because after you got in there, it was going to affect the whole. Are you following me this morning? Disproportionate influence. And it works this way. When we begin to allow things in our lives that do not lead us in the paths of truth. When we begin to allow little willingly, we willingly poured this in. It wasn't an accident. It didn't just show up and it was like, okay, we need to do something about that. We made a decision. We're going to pour this in. It's small. We're going to pour it in. And if we do that in our lives and we're not very, very careful about what we pour into our lives, things that don't directionally lead us to the Lord can have an impact on the whole, the likes we never expected. You don't have to pay much for it. It's all around us. And there are a lot of things and people and ideas and attractions that are just wanting to clamber up the ladder onto your life and pour what they have in. And so often affects us in ways we never expected for it to affect us. You know, leaven doesn't show up and say, "Hey, I'm leaven. My name is leaven, and I'm really loud, and I am something that will lead you right into the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, and the pride of life, and it's not of God, it's of the world, and here I am, and can I go up your ladder and go inside you?" That's not how it works. Most of the time, leaven is quietly comes, quietly offers, says, "I'm just a cup. It's not much. It's just a little bit. In fact, maybe we can find a place back here. We'll just pour it in back here. It's just a little part of my life. It's not that big of a deal." Leaven is like that. And without discernment, we can accept it and let it come in. And how quickly it can take us to places we never expected. I remember one time working with somebody and on a spiritual need, and they had this place in their life. They had this place in their life that they were having a lot of trouble in. And they were trying to figure out, why am I having trouble in this part of my life? I'm doing all these things. I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm doing everything on this part of my life to make it right. And the more we talked, it began to become clear that somewhere else in their life, they willingly were pouring in a cup of something that they knew they knew was not something that the Lord was pleased with. They were trying to do everything right over here. But something seemingly disconnected to this, they thought, it's just, I can do that. I should be able to be okay over here. Not realizing that it was like they were pouring in a spirit that wasn't right, that made its way all the way back here and affected them in ways that they never expected. We can't compartmentalize wrong in our lives. We can't compartmentalize. See, this truck, this was all open. We can't put walls in places in our lives like this so that we can do whatever we want here, but it keeps it from touching this because we got a wall. We compartmentalize it. We can't compartmentalize our lives like this and live kind of how we want over here because we like this green. But over here, we want this right. Can't do that. When we willingly, see, when we willfully, because it gets to the heart, because out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. And so when we begin to touch an area from the heart, it begins to affect our whole lives. A little leaven, it says, leaveneth the whole lump. Be careful what you feed on. Be careful what you let in. Be careful what you make space for. Be careful of false teaching that is outside of what the Scriptures teach, lest corruption comes in and affects the whole. I'd like to read Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest any man... See, it wasn't talking about God here. It was talking about earthly, temporal ways and thinking. Beware lest any man spoil you. That which was so good. Oh, you were doing so good. You were getting a hold of it. You were going the right way. It was turning into something that was exactly what was going to meet the need. But then you were spoiled. It got spoiled when it was there. Beware lest any man spoil you through what? Listen to what it says. Through philosophy. That's a big word. Well, that's a fine sounding word. In fact, just saying the word philosophy, and I don't have anything against the word philosophy. I'm just saying this is kind of human nature. Philosophy sounds kind of intellectual, doesn't it? It sounds pretty smart. We're going to talk about philosophy. We're going to talk about something that's up here when most of the time we live down here. Let's set ourselves apart. We'll talk about philosophy. But this says, be careful lest ye be spoiled by the exalted reasoning of man. Philosophy and vain deceit. Oh, it's all right. No, this is you. No, this is what you want it green, don't you? You wanted it green, right? Yeah, you want it. You can do that. Just pour a little bit in. You can have that. You can have it your way. Vain deceit, deceived into not realizing that it has a way of trickling all the way through and affecting you in ways you never dreamed. After the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, it's according to those things that are just going to pass away. They weren't of God. They weren't of the truth. They weren't of Christ. It says, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Just a little bit of leaven can permeate the whole. So that it's like when we make small compromises to our values and our beliefs, it can lead to significant moral and spiritual decay in our lives. And folks, we are living in a time and in a world where it's like you walk outside and there is leaven everywhere. It's raining leaven. It's cheap. You can get it at the corner. You can get it at the door. You can get it so inexpensively. It's there. It's offering. I'll climb the ladder for you. Just try it. Just try it. You know what happens if you want to just try a little bit of this green dye in this truck? You're stuck with it. When we compromise our values, folks, we're living in a time in the religious world where more and more and more we are being encouraged that, it'll be all right. It's going to be okay. You can still live this way. It's just a heart issue. You're right. You are exactly right. It's a heart issue. But we say that in one breath because it sounds good and it's true. It is a heart issue. And then we turn and we start to compromise values and beliefs that are rooted in the Word of God. And it creates space. Creates space to be filled with something else. Worldly ideas. Look, I live in the world just like you do. I'm in the world. I'm touched by worldly things in the respect that they're all around me. And there are things in my life that are going to pass away. But if I am not really careful, I can allow the influence of worldly ideas to begin to be absorbed into my life without discernment. You follow? There's a difference between being surrounded by things, but having discernment to know when to say when to say no, when to say no thank you, when to say, what doth the word of the Lord say? But when we begin to absorb, because it looks good, sounds good, it doesn't look like it's that big of a thing, and we can justify it with all manner of reasoning, without discernment, without recognizing, what is it that you're putting in here? What effect does this have when you pour it in? Did you explore what this green stuff was when you put it in? Did you talk to somebody who poured this in yesterday? Have you done your due diligence to understand what happens in your life when you pour this into something that you can't just compartmentalize it? Or did it just look good? Did it just seem like a little bit disproportionate influence? And yet without discernment, we begin to absorb things into our lives. Secular philosophies, ways of the flesh that go against biblical truths. And you know what it does? It can dilute your faith. Dilute your faith. And then you get to the place and you say, why am I struggling? Why am I struggling in this thing? I'm doing everything I know to do is right in this thing, but I don't seem like I have any power. What's going on with my life in this thing? The Lord wants our whole heart. And when you open the door, without discernment, begin to absorb things into your life. They move through and begin to touch and have consequence that is disproportionate to what it seemed like that you put in. The result? Gradual desensitization of sin, of wrong. Get a hold of this. It often doesn't happen overnight. But as you open up your heart and you are willing to begin accepting things in that you have not done due diligence within the Word of the Lord, in prayer, the Holy Spirit, where you are willing to bow at an altar of prayer in your own private closet and open up your heart and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do in my life? And you too readily bring this in, start to become desensitized to what's right, to what's truth, and it starts to not seem so wrong. I've taught this many times, and in the fear of the Lord, I'm going to continue doing it. This is a human action model. When you are exposed to something a lot, it breeds familiarity. Oh, I know about that. And after a while, that breeds tolerance. You may not have liked it at the beginning. Yeah, I don't like that thing here in stage one. I don't like that. Don't want that. But over time, if you let it hang around, it's like, oh yeah, I know what that is. I know what that is. I don't like it, but yeah, it's been there a long time. And over time, it's like, yeah, that's just the way it is. A little bit more time, that breeds acceptance. And you know what happens? Lots of times, that turns into participation. And you went all the way from allowing yourself to have a diet of exposure to something that wasn't biblical, wasn't proven. And you allowed the enemy, through disproportionate influence, through desensitization, gradual process of desensitization, will just expose you to it, let you become familiar with the idea, tolerate it after a while, accept it, you know. Well, you know what? Maybe I can do that. And somewhere in here, deception happens. Back here, it's like, I don't want that. Somewhere, deception happens, and you end up there, where you say, pour it in. So it's the reason that the Scripture exhorts that we examine ourselves. Let us search and try our ways. Turn again unto the Lord. Lord, search me, try me, know my heart. See if there's anything in me that would cause me to do something that's not right. Lord, help me. Lord, directionally, where am I heading? Lord, the decisions that I'm making, maybe they're not wrong today, but if I continue down this path, where is it going to take me? Lord, do the habits that I have each day, do they reflect a commitment A spiritual commitment to living in a way that the Lord is pleased with. Lord, is repentance a real part of my life? You say, well, you're a Christian. Why should that be too much of a part of your life? Repentance is a turning away. I want repentance to be a part of my life. That if I find something that I'm getting in this area, I go, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, I find myself in here and I want to turn around and repent, turn away to something, go back. And if possible, we live in the world. There's going to be some things we can't do anything about. But you can minimize some of the exposure to things that you know is outside of biblical teaching. Don't play with it. Stay away from it if you can. Yes, surround yourself by people that love the Lord, that are interested in making heaven more than anything else. Remain engaged in the Scriptures, that you might know what doth the Word of the Lord say, so that you can be saved, so that it can be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, that you can know the way that the Spirit wants you to go. I'd like to close this morning in Titus, the second chapter, the 11th verse. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Thank God for the grace of God that bringeth salvation that hath appeared to all men. It is by the grace of God, thank God this morning, that if you are living your lives and you have green dye that's made its way all through your life, there is a solution, the grace of God. And it is by the grace of God that you can be clear of the green dye. Yes, there's consequences of sin that sometimes don't go away, but the penalty of sin, Jesus Christ can come and take that which is crimson and make it pure and white and clean. He's the only one I know that can do this. The grace of God. Thank God this morning. Don't be discouraged if you feel like you've poured in the green dye and you think it's too late. It's not too late. Thank God. That's why Jesus shed His blood. You pour in some little bit of blood on the top of this and all the green dye goes away. Thank the Lord. Be willing to do that. Have hope this morning in the grace of God. It has brought salvation unto all men. But it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, let us live soberly, with discernment, righteously, and godly. When? After we get to heaven? No, in this present world. Let us live soberly, righteously, carefully, with discernment, back here, that we don't end up here, deceived, and wonder, what happened to my life? Teaching us that denying, no, I won't. No, I'm not going there. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Looking, oh, we have a vision. It's not just, I don't want that. I'm going to stay away from that. Our whole life, don't want that. I'm going to stay away from sin. But we have more than that. It's more than just about not doing what's wrong. It's about having a vision of everlasting life. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem who? Us, whosoever will. That includes me. It includes the tanker truck full of green dye personified as a person. Yes, it includes you, to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things, in the fear of God, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. I desire this morning that we be aware and internalize the truth of disproportionate influence and the deceptive devices that the enemy works against our souls as we journey through life. I don't want to hear in my life. I don't want to get to the end of the way and have the Lord say, "Oh, Rod, what happened? You were doing so well. Oh, you had it. What was it that caused this influence to pull you away?" I want to hear those words. "Yes, by the grace of God, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." All of us can hear it, if we will. Pray for me this morning. I want to be true. Amen.